Well, hello and welcome. It is so good to be with you today. I hope that you are having a great day. I hope that your circumstances are good. I hope that where you find yourself in your walk and your relationship with the Lord, you're growing, you're experiencing Him, you're knowing Him. Hope that you're just having a great day. It's cloudy day right now. Rain is moving in. I'm actually filming this the day before Idalia is supposed to arrive, or at least we're supposed to feel the effects of it, because Monday is Labor Day. I wanted to go ahead and film this so it would be ready for you next week. I hope you've been looking forward to our time together in God's Word. I know I have. These times certainly help me to grow in knowing the Lord and loving Him and trusting Him more. I hope that they are helping you as well. So thankful God gives us this time. Also want to say I'm thankful for Jonathan and Nikki for all that they do to make these times possible. But again, our whole point in this is in fact to meet with our Lord, to hear from Him. And so let's go to Him in prayer. Father, we thank You for this day, O God, for all that You have given unto us. Father, just prepare our minds and our hearts to hear from You. Lord, as we're before You, we do want to pray, Father, for Hurricane Idalia, Lord, for all those who are in its path. Lord, we ask, O God, that You would protect life, that You would protect property, that You would protect people's homes, Lord. Father, just watch over, give safety and security, Lord. And Father, just be our shelter in the storm. And now, Father, as we open Your Word, and this is Your Word, You inspired it, You've preserved it. Father, we realize only You can interpret it. Father, only You can open our eyes to see what it means and how it applies to our lives. And Father, we come wanting to hear from You, needing to hear from You. Lord God, speak, move, draw us close, give us understanding. Father, teach us, we pray, Lord, for life, for living, to please and honor and obey You. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, you know, it's amazing the understanding we get from God's Word about the times in which we live, the world in which we live. When we look around us and we see the rebellion, we see the resistance to God, we see the outright hostility toward God and His Word and His ways and to His people. It's very easy for us to wonder, to get confused and think about what's going on. And yet the reality is what we are seeing is exactly what God said would take place. You think about what we read, and we'll be in Psalm 2 today. You think about what we read in verses 1 through 3. Why are the nations in an uproar, and the peoples devising a vain thing? The kings of the earth take their stand, and their rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us. You know, wonderfully summarizes, describes these days, this rebellion against God, this resistance against God, this hatred of Him, this desire to be rid of Him. Well, what is God going to do about all this? What's God going to do about all this rebellion against Him, all this resistance against Him, all this resistance against His plan? You think about God's wonderful plan for our lives, for eternity, and yet you have all this rebellion and resistance against it to try to stop it, to try to slow it down, to try to divert it. It would almost seem from our perspective that God's wonderful plan is at risk. What is God going to do? You know, it seems like it's a crisis point, an emergency. What will God do? What can God do? Well, as we look at this psalm, we see some insight that we need for our understanding as we live today. And the first thing that we see is the security of God. Look at verse 4. He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. Understand, while God's righteous anger is obviously stirred and awakened, God is not worried about how this is going to turn out. God is not frantic. God is not anxious. God's not threatened by this in any way. You know, with all this taking place in our world today, alarm bells and lights and sirens are not going off in heaven, you know, declaring an emergency. God's not running around in heaven locking doors and windows, turning on the alarm, you know, scared to death that these people who are in rebellion against him are going to somehow break into heaven and take him off his throne. None of this threatens God. None of what we see taking place around us threatens God. He's still God. He's just as powerful, just as in control, just as relevant and powerful as he ever was. None of this threatens God. You know, I think about Isaiah 6. You know, as Isaiah was inspired to write that chapter, he said it was in the year of King Uzziah's death, a good king, and he knew that from that point on it would be a downward trajectory for the nation. And yet, what was it that God showed him? He saw the Lord high and lifted up. God was still on the throne. In spite of Judah's rebellion against God, in spite of the fact that it was in decline, and because of its spiritual decline, it was in military and political decline, and ultimately, of course, God would give it into captivity, and yet God was still God. As we see all this taking place around us, we need to always remember that God's not threatened by it whatsoever. God is still God. But then we move on and we look at the plan of God. You know, again, from our perspective, we look around and we see all of this happening, and we think, you know, certainly this has created a major crisis for God. I mean, right now, in our perspective, God's in the Situation Room hearing the latest intelligence reports. God surely has called the Joint Chiefs of Staff together to hear of their recommendations, to hear of what assets can be deployed. God is not meeting, you know, in our perspective, it would seem like God's meeting with his most trusted advisors, trying to come up with some kind of a contingency plan to deal with this unforeseen problem. No, none of that. God has not deviated in his plan whatsoever. He's not had to change or alter his plan in any way. You think about what we read in verses 5 through 6. Then he will speak to them in his anger and terrify them in his fury, saying, "But as for me, I have installed my king upon Zion, my holy mountain." God's plan still stands. Well, but what about all this rebellion we see? Please excuse me. Well, look at verses 7 through 9. I will surely tell of the decree of the Lord. He said to me, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will surely give the nations as your inheritance, and the very ends of the earth as your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall shatter them like earthenware." All this rebellion, it doesn't stop God's plan. In fact, is this rebellion actually becomes the path to God fulfilling his plan the way he always intended for it to do. None of it's caught God by surprise. None of it causes him to deviate from what he's going to do. God's still God. His plan still stands. All that we see, all this rebellion, all this resistance, all this hatred against God, it doesn't stop or deviate his plan. In fact, it becomes the pathway to it. But you know what's also amazing as we look at this, and that's a tremendous comfort to see. We find another amazing truth. And that is, in fact, the grace of God. Look at verses 10 through the very first part of verse 12. "Now therefore, O kings, show discernment. Take warning, O judges of the earth. Worship the Lord with reverence and rejoice with trembling. Do homage to the Son, that he not become angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath may soon be kindled." You think about that very first part of that verse, that 12th verse. Do homage to the Son, that he not become angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath may soon be kindled. I remember one older Bible scholar from generations ago, I think it was Arno Gabelein, who died back in 1945, if I remember correctly. And again, I think it was Gabelein who made the observation. Verse 12 is the John 3:16 of the Old Testament. It is a wonderful invitation and a wonderful declaration of God's grace to a sinful and rebellious generation. You know, even now, even in the midst of all this rebellion, we see God is extending grace. God is still offering and bringing sinners to salvation, where they can be forgiven and cleansed, reconciled unto Him, adopted by Him as His beloved children. Right now, God is still extending His grace. He's still cleansing His children when they sin and they confess that sin unto Him. God is still extending His grace to us. He's still meeting the needs of this time. You know, Hebrews talks about coming to the throne of grace in times of need. Well, this is certainly a time of need. And yet God's grace is extended to us. You know, what a wonderful invitation we have. What a wonderful invitation you have, wherever it is that you are in your walk with the Lord. If you have not trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, He alone is the way into salvation, and God has given you the opportunity this day, this moment, to place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and to be reconciled, made right with God for all of eternity. If you're a child of God and there's sin in your life, He's given you this day, this time, to confess that and to be cleansed, to be made right with Him. If you're a child of God and you're going through some time, obviously just facing these days, but even beyond that, you have some great need in your life, some problem, some burden, or some issue, God is extending grace and inviting you to come seek Him and rest in Him and to trust Him. These days in which we live, they don't nullify the grace of God. They don't stop the grace of God. You know, if anything, they just make it shine all the brighter. The grace of God. But then, even beyond that, we also have the blessing of God. Think about the latter part of verse 12. How blessed are all those who take refuge in Him. You know, again, we would think, boy, all this must have God sad and depressed. We, because we have such a limited view of God, unfortunately, in our generation, we almost have this concept of God looking at these times and God saying, you know, I sure wish I could bless my people, but these times are just so wicked. The forces of darkness are just so great that I just can't bless my people. I just really wish I could. You know, almost like us, wishing that there was something special we could do for our families or our loved ones, but right now just don't have the resources to do it. I'd love to give this or I'd love to do that, but I just don't have the resources for it. And we almost picture God that way in these times, that these times exceed God's power and ability to bless. Nothing can be further from the truth. Nothing limits God's ability to bless. You think about the book of Philippians, wonderful book of joy. And yet it was written in circumstances that you and I would think anything were anything but joyful. You have a church, in fact, it is a very poor church, even for that day when most churches were poor, that church was even worse. It was becoming increasingly under the thumb of persecution. The pressure was beginning to mount on that church. And yet it was to that church that the Apostle Paul, who when he wrote it was actually a prisoner, that's why we call it a prison epistle, and yet that whole epistle is permeated with joy. Why? Because God can give joy even in the midst of those circumstances, even in the midst of these circumstances we find ourselves in. There's the wonderful truth of His presence. There's the peace that passeth all understanding. There is the contentment in any and all circumstances. There's the enablement for anything that we face. There is the perfect supply for all of our need. All of that's found in that book that was written in anything but good circumstances, written from somebody who was in what we would call horrible circumstances to a group of people who were in very bad circumstances, and yet it was very clear God fully intended to bless them. What a testimony. What a message for us. And again, these times that we live in do not hinder God's ability to bless us. As we just stated with His grace, they just make His blessing shine all the brighter. God will bless His people, even in these days. Yes, we look at these times and sometimes we get worried. It's almost frantic at times. But we need to remember these times don't limit God whatsoever. They show our need for Him. They ought to pull us closer to Him. and ought to lead us to rest and trust in the one whose power, grace, and love are sufficient. What a God we have. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank You for this day. And, oh Lord, thank You that even in times like these, times that do trouble our souls, Father, thank You that You're still God. You rule, You reign, You're sovereign. Even in this time, oh God, Your plan is not threatened, not deviated. In fact, as all this becomes the path to it. And even in the midst of all that, You extend grace. And, oh God, You bless. Father, may we seek You and rest in You in these days. Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I do hope that you have a wonderful day for however much of the day is left, depending on when you watch this. We certainly do want to pray for those in the path of Hurricane Idalia. And I pray that you don't have any severe weather or any damage. But as we go through these times, as we go through these days, as we face a hurricane, let's remember that our God is still God. His plan's not been thwarted. His grace is still extended. His blessings can still be experienced. And I pray that you'll walk with Him through this day.